Hello and welcome to episode number 28 of the Canadian Outdoor Survival Podcast. I'm your host, Bruce Sawalski, and today I'm very proud to be interviewing David Delafield. David is a survival and wilderness living instructor, lead instructor of Mammut Bushcraft and Wilderness Living, co-chair of Outdoor Pursuits, and an assistant professor of biology at Berman University in Lacombe, Alberta. And more importantly for this podcast, he is also co-chair of the Global Bushcraft Symposium and a fellow member of the volunteer board that is running the symposium, which will be running in Alberta between June 10th and 14th, 2019. So today we will be discussing the Global Bushcraft Symposium. Episode 28 is proudly sponsored by the Global Bushcraft Symposium, and you can find more information about this once-in-a-decade gathering of bushcraft and survival instructors this June by visiting their website at bushcraftsymposium.com. Well, David, welcome, and thank you for taking some time out of your incredible busy and intense teaching schedule to sit down and have a cup of tea here with me in the classroom and talk about the important survival and bushcraft gatherings in the Northern Hemisphere for the last 20 years.
Thank you. It's good to be here, and thank you for your patience. We've been trying to schedule this for several weeks, and we finally managed to get together. It's the first time back in your classroom here in probably 10 years.
Well, excellent. Well, thank you very much, Dave, for coming out again. And the first question I'd like to talk about is, what is the symposium really?
This is it's a gathering of peers amongst instructors, whether they're teaching bushcraft or survival, traditional wilderness living skills. And there's also a number of bushcraft outdoor enthusiasts that are coming because they value contact with really good information, knowledge, and contact with some of the lead instructors from around the world. Where we got the idea for this is in 1995, Lars Fault coordinated the first survival instructor symposium, and it was in Jukkasjärvi, Sweden. This brought together the leading survival instructors, primarily from the military world, from many of the Northern Hemisphere countries. And they came together, they shared their best practices, they shared the things that they developed in their countries that they were sharing, and it was a way to share information and encourage instructors to be aware of best practices, of neat little tricks, things that made instruction and learning more effective. And we're trying to pattern this event after that. We want to bring together the very best instructors we can find, enable them to share their tricks of the trade with their peers from around the world, and bring in a number of enthusiasts, people who have perhaps a slightly more than recreational level of engagement with these types of knowledge groups, and create an environment where we share, we learn, and we create connections amongst professionals, but also to create a way to share information on a global scale.
Excellent. Thank you, David. I really like that idea of that synergy, that sharing and skills development. It's something I really push along, and I think that no one can work in this industry alone. Nobody builds those skills up by themselves, and all of us need to have that ability to do skills development with other survival instructors and bushcraft instructors. So, David, the second question is, why should someone attend the symposium?
I think the first reason that people are coming is to meet others. Many of us are isolated geographically from each other, and we tend to, for better or worse, many of us are in silos. We learn our skills from our mentor or our guru, and at times that limits us. Very few of us are inventive. Very few of us are truly creative and come up with new things. And so we tend to perpetuate the things that we learn, and they can be very good things. But in every group of instructors, every lineage of instructors, there's going to be new ideas or new ways of presentation, particularly around how do you effectively share information. And this is an opportunity for these different lineages from Canada, from the United States, from Europe, from Australia to come together and to benefit from sort of this synergy. I'd like to share a little story about the idea of synergy when you bring together groups of professionals. One of the honors that I have almost every summer now is I'm able to join Morris Gohansky on his summer courses. And I come in as an assistant to help with instruction or demonstration. And what is absolutely wonderful about that environment is on those week-long summer wilderness living skills courses, Karamat and Morris Gohansky bring together or attract instructors from around the world. These are professionals. These are people that are skilled in the art of lighting fire in their home environment. They know their plants. They know the priorities of survival. They know what we might call the bushcraft skills of living comfortably in the wilderness. But as a group, they're coming together not to learn the bow drill for the first time. They're trying to come and pick up one or two new tricks. Not tricks of the parlor tricks of survival, like the bow drill. They're coming to learn how to share information more effectively. They're looking to add to their repertoire of teaching skills. And I come away from that week enriched, because in the evenings we sit around as a group of peers and we share experiences of things sometimes we've done well, things we've done poorly, and those are the things that I value is those. It's almost the meta skills of being an instructor, the ability to put it all together. And this event is going to bring together instructors from around the world to create connections, to hear the stories, to learn best practices of how people believe to the best way to educate on these important skills. This could be the preeminent professional development event for survival, bushcraft, and wilderness living skills instructors. Not because it's called Global Bushcraft Symposium, but because of the caliber of the instructors, the presenters, and the participants that are coming to learn and to share.
Well, thank you very much, David. I really like that idea that since we all have that geographical separation, this symposium allows us to get together, meet others, pick up skills, enhancements, and best practices. So, David, question number three is, what should you expect when you attend?
Well, that question could take us many different directions. There's the venue, there's the events, there's the programming. And I'd like to concentrate first on the types of programming or that a person might choose to participate in. The day is broken into really three sections. The morning session starts a little slower. Some of us are not morning people. And we will have two presentations in the morning, essentially. An early morning one, which likely will appeal to a larger number of people. Perhaps a more well-known voice will present. And just before lunch, about an hour and a quarter will be reserved for what we call our morning keynote presenter. And these are individuals that as organizers we felt had something really important to share with the industry. Sometimes there'll be a panel up front. The original event, which happened in 1995, featured names such as Morris Gohansky, Lars Falt, Turka Altonen, Ray Mears, Sean McBride. One of our keynotes will feature as many of those individuals as possible. We'll call them the original old gurus of the industry. And we'll have them all on stage together, those who are coming, and they will be answering questions, talking, reminiscing, and giving us that historical perspective. So that's our morning keynote. It sets more of a philosophical and historical picture for the day. The afternoons will be primarily filled with what we call breakout sessions and theme camps. The breakout sessions, think of them as mini presentations or lectures. People presenting on fire skills and techniques from around the world. Latest developments or advancements in the instruction of wilderness first aid or practice of wilderness medicine. There'll be workshops on swift water rescue or safe practices, best practices for crossing moving water. Firecraft camp, axecraft camp, knifecraft camp, shelter camp. We've got a horse outfitter coming in that will have the horse barn at the camp in operation, and they'll be going over working with horses, loading horses for pack trains, and giving people a chance to experience a little of their industry and then make everyone a little bit more knowledgeable in the end. So those afternoons are, they're going to be hard because there are so many things going on and you will not be able to participate in all of them. But you will find something that is interesting. And then in the evening, we'll all come together again as a large community for another keynote presentation. And these, again, this will be a presentation on experience, on skills, on values. I think it's important to recognize that this is not a typical skills gathering, where you might go and sign up for a workshop on brain tanning or pottery or building a boat, who knows. What we've aimed for here is the sharing of best practices of running safe programming, how to set up curriculums. This is not about coming and learning a new skill. This is about the opportunity to come and learn how to benefit from other people's experience. And where I want to maybe draw that comparison is this is a blend of both the old masters and the young and new creative voices. People who are pushing the industry forward, whether that be through the combination of skills instruction and perhaps tourism or guiding. And one person that I'd like to highlight to give you an idea of how this might be different is our good friend Nick Gordon of Now Outdoors, based in the Midwest, northern Midwest of the United States. He runs many types of programs, from university programs to overseas trekking. But when I chat with Nick, I'm always amazed by how he creates connections in the outdoor community, how he markets, how he builds a clientele that wants to participate in his courses. And I think as instructors in the industry, we're always thinking, where do we get our next group of clients from? How do we market? How do we be truthful about our product that brings people in? And so Nick will be presenting on creative marketing strategies in the outdoors. And I really want to separate that. Yes, there'll be fire camp, good skills, good bush skills, but there's also going to be ideas of how to run a more effective business within our segment, or how we view ourselves as a global industry.
Well, excellent. Thank you, David. I really like the one aspect of that more of anything is that for the keynotes and for those masters of the skills, we're all going to be able to see them. And that's a big thing. So we have a lot less than in some of these symposiums you go to where you have only maybe 5 or 10% of what's being presented that you're actually getting a chance to hear. So David, the last question I'd like to ask you today is, why is the Global Bushcraft Symposium really a once-in-a-decade experience?
Probably because we've lost so much sleep and earned gray hairs in the planning of it. But in truth, we have to go back to our inspiration, and that is the first Survival Instructor Symposium in 1995. It's taken 24 years to bring the industry together, to bring the leaders together, and the instructors who want to benefit from their knowledge. It's taken 24 years to create another event to bring those people together. Part of our motivation was in the last 3 or 4 years, we've started to lose a number of our important voices, people that pushed us forward. Individuals such as Steve Watts of the Eastern United States, Jim Riggs of the Western United States. We'd started the planning process. We'd started to invite some of these people that we've all learned from, whether through their books, whether we learned from them in person. And we had been very careful to invite Larry Dean Olson to join. And he was excited. He was looking forward to meeting new friends as well as the chance to sit down with old friends. He appreciated the idea of this idea of a recognition of our lineage of instructors and the cultures that we've learned these skills from. And he was aware of this event for the year or so leading up to his death just over this last Christmas. And I think that's a really important point for us to remember. All of us have teachers, people that we've met in person. But I have benefited from the knowledge myself of people whose books I've read, their articles that I've read, and of course the power of the internet. There are people whose videos that I've watched and I've learned and I've benefited from. but sometimes I've never met them in person. And when you meet someone that you've learned from, that you've admired for many years, it's an experience that you will not easily forget. And as these mentors, these original teachers, start to age, it's harder for them to travel, and unfortunately, some of them have passed on. And I think that's something really important to remember. It's not necessarily a once in a decade or once in 24 years event. The opportunity for some of us to meet these international figures could be once in a lifetime. And certainly the first time it's happened in North America. Will this happen again? We're open to this event continuing on perhaps every 5 or 10 years. But for now, remember that this took 25 years to organize a second one. And all of us have a limited number of years on this good earth. And some of our instructors, our mentors, are certainly getting older. And I would encourage you folks to come, to sit down with these folks, to share stories, and learn, and say thank you, I think, which is even more important, to acknowledge the fact that we are indebted to these people. And just say, hey, thanks for sharing that. Thank you for writing that book. And thank you for just sitting here and talking with me. And I know those are going to be some of the most memorable and incredible experiences that come out of this event, is just the opportunity to sit, to share, to talk, and experience this event with these people.
Well, thank you, David. I really appreciate you coming out today, and I appreciate you coming out and talking about the Global Bushcraft Symposium and sharing a lot of your enthusiasm and interest in making this event really work. So let's wrap up this discussion by going over what I think the most important points that myself and David discussed today, and ask again, what is the Global Bushcraft Symposium? I like to think of that it's the meeting of the best of global bushcraft and survival instructors. It's a once-in-a-decade experience. It is an area where we're going to have synergy and sharing and skills development. And because of the great geographical separation we have throughout the North, it allows us to meet together and pick up and practice skills, enhancements, and best practices. And personally, I think that we need to make this a success. So thank you for listening to episode number 28 of the Canadian Outdoor Survival Podcast, dealing with the Global Bushcraft Symposium. I produce one podcast per month, so you should see the next one out in a month. Episode 28 was proudly sponsored by the Global Bushcraft Symposium, and you can find more information about this once-in-a-decade gathering of bushcraft and survival instructors, including Morris Kochanski from Canada, Paul Kirtley from the United Kingdom, Lars Feld from Sweden, David Westcott from the United States, Les Stroud from Canada, Cody Lundeen from the United States, and Lisa Fenton from Great Britain, along with at least a dozen other instructors, such as myself, teaching in the Sheltercraft Camp, and episode number 26 guest David Holder. This gathering, as we've just talked about, is not to be missed. If you want to advance your skills and learn from the best professional bushcraft and survival instructors in the Northern Hemisphere, this is the week to do that. Various accommodation packages are available, including camping, bringing out your RV, or staying at the Foothills Camp, which is just north of Calgary, where the symposium is being held. And again, it is held between June 10th and 14th, 2019, and registration is online by visiting their website at bushcraftsymposium.com. If you register before the end of April, there is an early registration bonus. Show notes with links are available at canadiansurvival.info/podcast. You can follow me at Twitter at Bruce Zed. That's BRUCEZED. And if you have any ideas for future podcasts or wish to sponsor a podcast, please contact me. I hope to see you again in a few weeks. And remember, if you want to survive getting stranded in the Canadian wilderness, just stop and survive.